Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
From the windowless offices of the Pentagon to the glass-walled campuses of Menlo Park, a silent thread of DNA connects the world's most powerful defense agency to the apps in your pocket. A secretive agency for military research has long been the forge where the future is hammered out, responsible for the internet, GPS, and the very foundations of the digital age. But as the Cold War faded and the information age dawned, the agency's focus shifted from the physical battlefield to the cognitive one. Long before engagement metrics and algorithmic feeds became household terms, programs like LifeLog sought to create a multimodal, permanent database of a person's entire existence, their movements, their conversations, and their connections. Officially shuttered in 2004, the project's ghost seems to have found a new home in the private sector, where the data once sought by intelligence officers is now voluntarily surrendered by billions of users every single day. Was the rise of social media a spontaneous cultural phenomenon, or was it the ultimate dual-use technology perfected in a lab to map the human social graph? As we trace the venture capital back to its tactical roots and examine the psychological operations buried in our notifications, the boundary between user and subject begins to blur. Is your smartphone a tool of connection or a sensor node in a global net of behavioral engineering? This case file, join the theorists as we follow the funding and unmask the architects of the digital panopticon in DARPA's Shadow Over the Social Web.
Theorizing case file. Zell, hit it.
373.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Good old matinee recording.
Hell
today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, little matinee with little fucking beverage
Chardonnay.
On a Sunday.
I was, I thought I'd be a good boy today. I had a workout this morning and a sauna. Then I see this guy with a full giant glass
Monday
of red wine, so I had a
beverage.
Crack in the a couple
in
beers.
The in
beverage.
The yeah in in this is for Johnny Depp, a goblet of wine basically today.
Little breakfast wine never hurt anybody.
Little
right?
breakfast wine, huh? Little it's pre-noon wine never hurt anybody on a Sunday.
No,
huh?
On the wine,
tell
the wine, buddy.
They say
let's
it.
Go.
You just
why
hurt
not?
Everybody after you drink it.
It's fact. It's supposed to be on the wine at 9 p.m., buddy, not 9 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I mixed up.
Well,
listen, it's like mixing up the AM, PM. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not on me.
The time change came and Braden just figured.
Yeah, the time change. It was a time change. When it said an hour back, I thought the nines flipped.
Complete reversal.
I thought the nines flipped. That's on me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, boys. Won't let it happen again.
That's okay. I support you and I'll be drinking with you this afternoon.
All right. Well, at least we can all support. Yeah.
Yeah, for Johnny Depp.
So this week, we're back to rotational case picks.
Hell yeah.
So this week,
so if it sucks, we can pinpoint it on one person.
Yes.
It's all about accountability with this podcast now.
Boys.
As we've been the steady slide of decline, we've been like, all right, we need to focus on who is the problem. Mm-hmm. All right.
Read one star reviews to find out who's the reason for the.
There might be a pattern there.
Yeah. No, I think this that? One, because we're actually, I don't think. Andrew can tie his racism into this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds like a challenge.
Just, we've talked about this. It's seasonal. It's not fair. Just because I get fucking pale in the winter, everybody gets tossed around the hard racism accusations here.
Today, Andrew's picked.
Well, if anyone's played any Air Craters against you, I don't know.
Yeah, what do you mean you don't know?
Everyone's anonymous in that game, so everyone can say whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm not
judging by what I've heard on there so far.
I'm always I'm questioning. I'm like, there's so
Andrew is defending his racism in the game all the time.
Absolutely.
Tonight we're talking a little DARPA, brief history, but mainly some modern connections with some social media we may or may not use on a regular basis, which may or may not track everything we do, record everything we say. No,
these are ones I hate
you.
Because I believe it.
Like, oh, well, it's real. It's like, I don't think there's anybody that can discredit the fact that Silicon Valley was built by the Pentagon.
Not in the research I said. I found it. Nothing. There's no evidence, Andrew. Zero.
It does feel like, I mean, we're going to get into it, but it does feel like these were at one time publicly government-funded programs that got pushback, and they're like, all right, well, let's go private. Yeah. You're like, holy fuck.
And you're going to fucking pay for it and agree to it. And
yeah, you're gonna pay for it, and the government's not going to pay for it anymore, and now we can do whatever we want, hide it behind private corporations.
So essentially, Silicon Valley didn't emerge organically. It was seeded, funded, and shaped by the U.S. military and their intelligence agencies.
Just hold on. I don't want to interrupt too much here, but
well, you're gonna.
Do you keep saying silicone?
Silicon.
Okay.
Silicon. Silicon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you said Silicon Valley, and I was like,
I don't think I said silicone.
I thought you did.
It's sealant.
All right. Yeah. Continue.
Okay.
You may proceed.
So in the early 30s and 40s, there. You know, early tech roots were in Stanford University. They started fostering kind of like an engineering and electronics programs, mostly done by Professor Frederick Terman. And then obviously World War II, everything jumps off and we start getting into radar communications, electronics. And Stanford and the nearby labs become this key research partners with the military. And that's kind of where you see this initial military-university partnership begin. The U.S. Department of Defense becomes the main customer, which funds massive research programs. They need, you know, missiles, guidance systems, advanced computing. In the, you know, late 50s, you get the birth of the semiconductor industry and the Fairchild Semiconductor. They built microchips used in military systems and space programs. Of course, we've got the fake Apollo program and Cold War. Government demands for smaller, faster computers, which leads to rapid innovation.
Yeah, because they had to render all that moon footage as quick as they could.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But as we get like going in here, like we're starting to realize the Pentagon is the biggest tech investor in the world at this point. Silicon Valley companies survive largely on defense contracts. So in the 60s and 70s, we get the ARP and the birth of the internet. So the ARP is which ends up turning into DARPA, essentially. You know, they start doing these researches basically to prevent technological surprises during the Cold War. ARPNet basically is the first version of the internet. Can we agree on that?
Well, yeah, that was the first version that they started the first transfer of packets, like breaking information down into
and
packets.
IP addresses.
Yeah.
And like basically telling you where the information comes from, wrapping up the information and telling you where it comes from.
Which is a crazy rabbit hole. I didn't really go down too far, but like I never really understood too much about packet transfer. Mm-hmm. It's like all these individual packets just find their own way through the network in the fastest time. And then at the end are reconfigured and built back up. It's insane. Yeah. We live in a world of magic.
Yeah, boys. I mean, there's a lot of like everyday tech that comes from DARPA and ARPA. Yeah.
I mean, listen, magic is a key word here.
Magic, dude.
Oh, it's magic. I don't believe any of this shit. It's crazy. It's all fucking. But like,
are you telling me this stuff just pops through these little wires and tubes?
Yeah, it's
I have
little fucking sugar packets. Like you put in your coffee and they just mail them out. That's what they're talking about, right? So
encode, decode, build back up.
The military is like developing these programs for the universities. And then you get into the 70s and 80s and the transitions to civilian tech and like the rise of the PC or the personal computer, which is super interesting because it's, you know, like Steve Wozniak, I think he was working for HP at the time. And he starts using this, you know, this technology that they've used, reduce the size, you know, the processors and everything like that, and basically gets the freedom to design the PC on his own. With like, HP's like, go ahead, man, do your thing, come up with
Are Hewlett-Packard still around?
I think so.
Yeah. Are they still in like the home? Because that was like my first home computer was a Hewlett-Packard.
I don't know if they computers so much. I think they do.
It's a fucking that was a good unit back in
the HP's
fucking 98.
I think they declared bankruptcy.
HP
actually, but well, I think yeah, they're still around.
Yeah, no, they still got desktop computers.
I was playing like Diablo 2 on a Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah, oh, they had a good share. Yeah, they had a good share. I don't know if they're like...
Oh, they're actually mainly notebooks now.
Yeah, everybody.
HP ProBooks.
Which is... ProBook. Like, is that a laptop or what's a...
Yeah,
what's a
notebook. Okay. Yeah, laptop computer.
Cool. What about Dell? Did that fucking dude you're getting a Dell guy, didn't he sink
around.
That company? He's a bit of a piece of shit.
They're still
shady.
They're making shitty computers.
All right.
But they're cheap.
Now it's like, dude, you getting a Dell?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, a Dell?
Most of our Dells that we use at our company have about a 3-year lifespan. Like, you got to replace them in 3 to 5
That's
years.
That's it. Yeah, just fucking falls apart.
What's the fucking point? It's just planned obsolescence, or are they just 100% fucking?
Garbage. I mean, in 5 years, I mean, the way tech moves now, it's kind of like five years. It's like that thing's a dinosaur.
Just fucking crazy. They're doing such a good job keeping us all broke.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Get that new comp. It's not you, Andrew, nuts. Though. Andrew's working on a 12-year-old computer right now. Still
the minute any of this shit dies, it's all analog for me.
Look, we can just
want me to be part of the podcast? I'll be fucking...
We'll put you on our payment plan.
Andrew's going to be... Andrew's going to get on the ham radio. He's going to be radioing into the show.
Yeah.
That's all he'll do.
Recording on a cassette tape.
I don't know. That might be...
Recording on a cassette tape and mailing it to Zell.
Been using a flip phone at home. I only use my fucking iPhone at work. I got an analog
Andrew's
watch
flip phone
again.
Is like one of those cricket phones. No, it's got fucking, the giant numbers on it, and like, it looks like a kid's phone. Like it looks like a little play
school
phone.
It's like a geezer phone. It's what the elderly use. I'm disconnected, boys. I'm unplugging. That's it for
me. So we had the rise of ARPA turns into DARPA. They have their hands in all these programs and technologies from the internet.
They're basically single-handedly funding all these private companies in Silicon Valley.
These companies are using military, you know, ideas funding. And military programs, right?
Yeah, like GPS and Siri, like
stealth tech,
talk to voice and stuff. That's all like military. It was first military application that then they're like, oh, we can also maybe turn this into.
You guys want to fast forward a little bit?
Yeah,
all right, let's fast forward a little bit to 2003. DARPA, which we've discussed now, issues a call for proposals to build the LifeLog systems. So essentially what the plan for LifeLog was a digital diary of your entire life. Record everything a person does, sees, says, and experiences. Combine it into one unified system, right? So they basically aim to collect emails, phone calls, messages, websites, visitors, TV shows, books, media consumption, GPS location tracking, financial transactions like credit cards and purchases, social interactions, even biometric health data via sensors. So like anything you'd wear, your wearables, right? Like your watches, heart rate, blood pressure, all that type of shit. In short, your entire digital life and physical life continuously being recorded.
Your complete digital footprint.
Well, and this is like post 9/11. So like right now, like basically 9/11 opened the doors for like, they're like.
Patriot Act, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah. They're like, we're fucking going to listen to your phone calls.
It's crazy because
we're going to read your fucking emails, whatever.
They were trying to do that shit forever. And everybody's like, fuck that. That's crazy. And then, you know, they get you to beg for it. We all wanted the Patriot Act. We cheered for it. We got to get terrorists. How else are we going to get them? Whatever it takes.
That can't happen again.
Can't happen again. Take all our personal
costs.
We can't have towers falling without getting hit by planes again, ever again.
Ever again.
Due to extreme heat, Braden.
Yes. We cannot have towers.
Structural failure.
We cannot have towers coming down from extreme heat ever again.
We got to get those guys.
They wanted to create a perfect digital memory, create a system that could store your entire life history, recall events like your search engine, basically results, right? Anything that you've been looking up, searching. The goal was near perfect recall of experiences. They wanted to understand human behavior, analyze patterns to identify habits, routines, relationship preferences. DARPA would explicitly wanted to detect plans, goals, and other makers of intentionality.
Which is dangerous, because if you think about how many people just fucking shit post on online, you know what I mean? And this is like a profiling tool where it's like, you're saying this, you're doing this, we're predicting that you're going to do this. This is fucking Minority Report coming in. They're like, fucking pre-crime, baby. We're going to get you for a pre-crime.
Well, it gets into the next part, which is predict future actions. One of the most advanced goals was to use past data to predict what a person will do next, infer behavior patterns, and anticipate needs or decisions. Early form of predictive AI based on personal data.
Thought police.
Scary, dude. And as like their future plans is they wanted to enable AI assistants, cognitive systems, AI that understands your life contacts, acts like a personal assistant full of your memory, full memory of you, important for military intelligence and human-machine interaction research. Got to get ready for those T-100s. Military and intelligent applications, track individuals of interest, model human networks, analyze behavior patterns at scale. So mid to late 2003 is when you start getting public backlash, right?
People are sick and tired of hearing the breathing when you're on a call. of the FBI and CIA agents fucking listening to all your calls, right? People are like, this is getting it. This is too much.
About my FBI agent's divorce. Like, I'm trying to hear it in the background.
He's chiming in. He's like, I feel you, brother.
So you kind of wonder, like, what happened? Why didn't this go forward? And in short, civil liberties activists and organizations like the ACLU thrust it into public debate, citing the obvious privacy concerns and potential for abuse from the government and the agencies and individuals running the system. There was a really good article about it in Wired magazine in 2003, and that's where this program came to light. An interviewee in the article says, I am sure that research will continue to be funded under some other title. I can't imagine DARPA dropping out of such a key research area.
Oh, right? I wonder what happened after that then.
Well, exactly, right? But like you can see it. Like this program is good, like massive.
It's scary. It's terrifying.
It's mass surveillance. It's government profiling. It's abuse of personal data.
On your own people.
Totally. Well, not necessarily just your own people. Just
everyone.
In general, it has everything an intelligence agency would want.
Yeah.
You're able to track people in real time.
Except public Overwatch.
Yeah, if you expand the scope out from what it originally was intended to do, I think the original intention, at least what I read, was that it was meant to be like something that it would be deployed mostly within the military. And it was kind of one of those things where you would have your soldiers or your officers have like pretty much instant recall. Like you could be like, who did I talk to about engine repair 3 years ago? And it would tell you, it would link up GPS location reports that day. It would tell you exactly what you were doing. I think that was kind of the original intention of what it was. And then if you expand, of course, you know, you extrapolate that out.
It sounds like the original plan for Facebook to just be a university fucking way of identifying people.
Again, a university
fucking hot chicks.
Or not app.
Yeah. But so, you know, all of a sudden we get everybody coming and alerting and being like, yeah, this is not okay. It's an invasion of, you know, privacy, all this stuff. And in 2004, there was a quiet internal shutdown. And exactly on the day of February 4th, 2004,
Congress killed the Total Information Awareness Act.
Yes.
And that basically was like, this program falls under that. And with killing this act, kills the funding for this program. And they're like, we're not having it. The public backlash was too steep. And February 4th, they fucking say, nope, we're done.
February 4th, very important day. It was the last day of LifeLog. It's when they completely terminated it. And official response was there was a change in priorities. So,
were those priorities, I wonder?
Well, get into it. So, like, DARPA, the U.S. government's foremost authority on military intelligence research and development, with an annual budget of more than, what, fucking $3 billion, put an extraordinary amount of effort into designing this platform, right? Like, think about all the people who were involved in this, how long it's been alive for. You know, a platform which would track and store virtually everything needed to understand and predict human behavior, both broadly and individually, a platform that just so happened to embody all the features of privatized social media years before it would fully come to pass. A platform that was considered so overreaching in its privacy concerns that it would never be allowed to propagate through a government project, right? No way. This is complete breach of fucking personal privacy. Now, this was completely brought to end on February 4th. the same fucking day that the lights went on at the fucking Facebook.
The Facebook. Zuckerberg and
boys. The book of
boys.
Fucking Facebook, right? The book of faces. Like, that's...
It's insane to me because I'm like that. I mean, sure, on one hand, you can say weird coincidence. But at the same time, when you look at the public backlash, I'm like, you had this project that was known about that had civilian oversight. And the backlash, like, closes the door. They're like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, in my head, I go, what a genius move. If you're going to then privatize the same thing you're going to do, now you don't answer to fucking anyone other than shareholders. And if you're a fucking majority shareholder, you know, have people that were in this program, they can't, no one can do fucking nothing. And you can still accomplish the same fucking goals.
Well, it's crazy when you look at it too, because it's like you look at Facebook itself and it is a, it's a service that perfectly fits the description of fucking LifeLock.
Of what was just happening.
It's literally exactly the fucking same. And then the only difference is you're agreeing to it. You're accepting it. They fucking do a big fucking convoluted write-up that none of us read when we were fucking, what, 13? When this came out? And just pressed okay. And then all of a sudden we uploaded our information for them. We just agreed to it ourselves. Did the work for them.
Well, especially now, like Facebook... Like if you open Facebook on your phone, it tracks you across all apps, tracks all your fucking data, all by terms of service. So like it's literally doing what, you know, LifeLock was planning to do and wanted to do.
And you guys, do you know who the first
with no overwatch other than shareholder?
Well, do you like know who the first overwatch. Outside investor was of Facebook?
I know
Peter
exactly
Thiel was one of them.
Yeah, dude.
He was the one. He was the first outside one, right? Investor.
And he's like, honestly, Peter Thiel now is a fucking runs Palantir.
Was which Palantir is like, in Qtel, right? Which is a fucking CIA dude, program.
Let's not forget what Palantir is. It's the fucking all seeing orbs in Lord of the Rings that anyone who has them can see all the other ones. It's like, I'm like, this motherfucker was involved all along. Right. And I was like, he was just behind the scenes as an angel investor coming in. Oh, I'm going to help you kind of push this into the exact same fucking thing that they LifeLock was planning to do. We've seen companies do this with like GPS and stuff and they make civilian application. They're making a civilian application for LifeLock, right? With no fucking government overwatch, no civilian overwatch because it's a private company. It's to be honest, it's kind of a fucking genius move by... It's
absolutely a genius move.
Because
corporations... Do you think they approached Tom from MySpace first and he was like, no.
Yeah,
think,
Tom's you know, cool, Tom, dude. 100%. Like, Tom, do you think Tom was like... Because
since MySpace was so big before and then Tom was like, no, never.
I would
and
never. Then, these are, this is funny, about your top five friends.
When this... I remember reading somewhere when Facebook was, you know, coming to existence and gaining momentum, getting popular. Yahoo tried to buy it for like $1 billion. And Zuck was like, no, can't do it. I wouldn't know what to do with the money. Can't sell it.
It's
well, like that's fucking crazy. Let's talk about that because so Zuckerberg first, I mean, everyone's, if you remember the movie, the fake documentary of Facebook.
It's all bullshit. But.
It was face mash first, right? The year before.
Yeah.
And he says he stole that code from those fucking giant brothers.
Winklevoss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that gets shut down. And in January of 2004, he begins to self-code, supposedly, his own new site called the Facebook. And then, as we said, on February 4th, just a month later, it launches to almost instant success. But it's originally only, you know, it's only Harvard first, right? And then it would slowly spread to other Ivy League schools. And then eventually, by the next year or two, it was in every...
Buddy, they targeted everything. The kids. They knew how to fucking get us, man. They targeted... us as kids. I remember the first people, like, I remember meeting someone that was like, do you have a Facebook account? And I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that is. And they're like, get remember on, when they signed, stay connected.
Buddy signed me up for it and fucking, it was an arts class on the computer.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, we can all stay connected. I was like, holy shit. But like going into that movie, I've always, it's so funny because when we got into this, I've had this thought before watching this movie. I was like, why did this, like Social Network, it's a good movie, it's fine, but I'm like, why did that need a movie? I always thought that. I was like, why did the fucking, who give, like who was fucking clamoring for the
Facebook
fucking
the movie.
Facebook the movie, you know what I mean? Like who wanted
CIA
that?
To paint their fucking right? official narrative here.
Right now, history? When you look at it as like, this is a straight fucking propaganda
fabrication,
piece.
Baby.
Right? 100% propaganda piece. I'm like, all right, well, this fucking makes sense. Now, is they want to throw you off and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, this was 100% this fucking, you know, this homegrown thing. I was like, no. I was like, this has fucking CIA written and fucking black budget written all over now,
I got,
like, looking
back
on
I got questions now because I couldn't find the answer, so maybe you guys got them. So Zuckerberg, let's just say he's the connection. So who is, like, how Zuckerberg and why? Does he have a father in the military? Does he
No,
have-
it's Peter Thiel. I would say it's Peter Thiel coming in.
The face, man.
No. But Peter, that all the investment happened after it launched.
Yes.
Because it launched, he thought it was just, supposedly, the story is he just launched it and it just blew up. And after all of a sudden, now he needed capital to grow the servers. He needed business. That's when Peter Thiel came in.
They had to make it look as organic as possible.
The what?
They had to make it look as organic as possible, the growth. They didn't want to fucking cause too many red flags. They had already been in shit, fucking...
Yeah, so that's my question. So we have the shutdown of LifeLog conveniently on the exact same day of the launch of Facebook. But I couldn't is there a whistleblower? What's the connection to Zuckerberg? How'd it get to him? Was the backroom, like, someone handed him the code in a hard drive, and then it went, or was it all done and they just stuck his name on it? Like, listen, man, if you go along with this, you'll be the face, and you're going to be worth $1 trillion.
I mean, look,
let's
if you look at
most awkward fucking weirdo we can find.
Isn't that a guy you could manipulate easy, like with some money, and you're like, you're going to build this thing. Follow your dreams.
He said no to $1 billion. So
I may be guilty of generalization, but I'd be like, a lot of awkward weirdos are the kinds of people that you're going to find coding these kinds of things back then. Like,
yeah. 100%. Like, I don't think
you, yeah. 100%. A lot of those people, like, writing in the back end code and front end code, like,
we're doing it. Yeah. I wonder, like, maybe he was already working for them. Isn't Harvard already got huge ties to CIA? Like, there always been lots of.
It's Ivy League, it's a university. It's a top school. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of people who get recruited out of there.
They probably have a fucking little farm team for the CIA in Harvard. Sure. That's where
kids. What is it? The Harvard, the Crimson, the newspaper that interviewed him while he was doing that.
They got
that
a farm team at Harvard, and they get all these kids, and they, you have your fitness standards, and you have to be able to do at least no more than 10 push-ups. You can't do a pull-up. You do a pull-up, you're out. Fuck off. Bye. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy how much
you have to have asthma.
They must hate Zuck now. They're like, what are you doing? Stop.
Jits. He's fucking Stop. Jits, bro, dude.
I like it how Facebook has, like, completely taken over exactly what social media, like, used to be. Like, it used to be choices. You know, you did have MySpace and you had, what was it, LiveJournal? Like, oh, my God. Like, I'd totally forgotten about that until we started looking at this. It was like LiveJournal. It's like, oh, yeah.
I remember Nexopia.
Even Zuckerberg had a LiveJournal account, like, back then, you know, blogging about this stuff. It's just, it's wild. But, yeah, the fact that Facebook has completely taken over at that point. And like Andrew said, yeah, it's strange to see the change. Like Zuckerberg's like, yeah, like he turned down Yahoo money and now he's like building a freaking, you know, building a compound on the Hawaiian island that he owns like 90% of or something.
Doomsday
or like,
compound. You
know? Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. What does he know? But yeah, as far as like, so let's say that's the theory. Zuckerberg is he's their guy. He's their connection. LifeLog goes offline. Facebook comes online. It spreads insane. Within like 1 year, it was like millions of accounts. Within like 3 years, like half of North America had a fucking Facebook account. It's got to be
the
fastest growing product maybe of all time, besides now AI is probably.
I will concede that the February 4th date might be a happy coincidence for this.
There's no fucking way.
I'm conceding maybe, but I'm saying Peter Thiel's involvement in Facebook directly connects this to like a DARPA project.
So you add Peter Thiel and then you add the start date and you got to be like, come on.
Yeah. And then to me, I'm like adding Peter Thiel and then what Facebook morphs into. Do you know what I mean? Because then like once you have all these investors that can then control where like it's directed, then it's like, okay, now we're just now. Oh, hey, look, we're taking this. We are like the government already, the military already had this. Let's apply this to Facebook. I have a friend of a friend, and he has taken courses, and I only popped into my head because of this topic, but he's told me before, he's like, man, fuck, don't use Facebook. Don't use it. Don't put anything on there. And he says he goes to like training seminars where they like, they're like doing like open source investigative techniques and stuff. And they'll be like, hey, Facebook leaves back doors open for law enforcement. They change all, they close these, you know, these, you know, fucking glitches and stuff, but they always open other ones for us. And he's like, we always know about them. And I was like, man, are they just secretly like fucking, it just kind of like, Facebook kind of closes these doors and like law enforcement and military can just like backdoor all this shit and look at all your information. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can go on fucking an AI platform and plan a mass school shooting to a T and nobody alerts the fucking law enforcement.
No.
No.
Which is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
So let's talk about Facebook then as the new life log. The, let's say a
government as what it surveillance is? Tell as what well, it
I
is.
I just want to show, like, I want to, I just kind of went into like how they track you. Everyone knows you're being tracked. Everyone knows like you say something and all of a sudden you're getting fucking ads for whatever you're talking about. Right. So not only do they track every comment and like how much time you spend viewing each piece of content, that's all logged. Your age and your location, all the relationships, the people you interact with, that's all part of what they build your profile on. All the messages, and then millions of millions, like almost probably every website now, Facebook has pixels. So every time you visit that website, it reports back to Facebook. It starts building a profile. That's where you get targeted ads.
Yeah, foot fungus.
Right? And anytime you log into Facebook on third-party apps, right? So like there's all, like you can log into either through your email or Facebook or maybe a couple other things. That's all logged. So now they know everything about you.
Well, and that's what Palantir I'm like is fucking doing. I'm like, I'm sure Palantir has like fucking backdoor into everything. It's all military application.
Right.
And it's in the fucking name.
Yeah. Right? Dude, it goes farther though. All those like on Facebook on that, that's all on there. Then it also has requests to your location. So your GPS, your context, your camera.
What the fuck do they need to know where you are? Like that's, why would you accept
that? Your microphone.
And give you recommendations based on your location.
Facebook is one of the only apps that you can delete and it's still on your phone. It's tracking you even if you turn it off.
What?
Yeah, yeah dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fucking the craziest one.
Everything you're mentioning is all part of the fucking, of LifeLock. Like these are all things that they wanted to do. Which they are like now doing successful.
If you want to go off grid, you got to take your SIM card out of your phone. But they make it hard now. You can't even take your SIM card out of your phone now. Like it's like it used to be. You know, you could just like pop out the battery, pop out the SIM card, boom, gun, or like the little cell phone thing. You could pop it out. Now, like the SIM card usually is like integrated into the phone
because they don't want you to take it out.
There's more though. There's more ways it tracks you. Want me to keep or
keep going.
Depress us more, please, Zell.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All your device indicators, all the advertising IDs and IP addresses you visit are all sent back to Facebook. That's building your online profile. So if this is a government surveillance agency, let's say it owns it, hypothetically, we don't really know 100%. They know everything about you. Your whole, even if you're not on Facebook all the time, but you have Facebook on your phone, or you have a phone and you're using the internet, that's all being sent back to Facebook. It doesn't matter if you're on the app or not. They also buy data from other data brokers. So all your purchase history, credit card data, and all your public records are on there. So they keep building a profile and they enrich your profile with everything in your life. They know everything about you. Even if you don't think, I don't really use Facebook, doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. And then it's not even just wholly about like collecting the data and having the data there and giving the recommendations of like the stuff that they want you to buy. But then it's also, what is it called? It's called ontology, where it's like they take all the whole key of what LifeLog was, what the LifeLog was supposed to do was to take all of those and then take all of those data points and then create, you know, these, you know, predictions of intentionality where it's going to be like, yeah, like we can predict what you're going to do based on all of these actions that you do, where you go, what you read, who you are, all of these things.
We can do all this, that Dan saying and Zell saying, unless you go on your Facebook right now and in capital letters, you write, I do not give Facebook permission.
Yeah, yeah, no. I like this. I want to see every one of our listeners copy and pasting the following. I do not give Facebook permission to use me as any tool.
Every single one of our parents, I think, have done that at least once.
We should start a new copy and paste
trend. They just got my dad, dude.
That's why it popped in my head.
We should do a new copy and paste trend where we put an all caps, Facebook is a CIA-owned corporation invested on by Peter Thiel, owned by Palantir. And then they just list out all the shit we've been talking about and post it. See what happens.
Yeah.
Then we die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's do that next Monday when it comes out. We'll do a copy-paste on the group.
And see how many people can copy and paste this. And
how many of my real friends will actually share this?
If you thought we were a shadow band on Facebook, we're about to be completely obliterated.
Okay, so... The other thing I wanted to bring up, this is fucking recent, like in the last, when did I read this? On the 19th. Okay, so you know how fucking, like, if there's levels to conspiracy theorists and alarmists, I would say, like, we're fucking mid-range. Like, there's the extreme ones that are fucking going crazy, you know what I mean?
I'm red-pilled, boys.
Right? Andrew's all the way.
It's over for me.
There's some... Right, some have been saying what have been some have been saying,
spiral,
right?
Like, yeah. All the time.
I'm gone, boys.
15-minute cities, they're gonna corral you, you're not gonna be able to leave your areas, right? That's been a big one that's popping up.
I don't see any conspiracy there,
no, right? Wait, here's what I'm saying,
brother,
dude. On March, let me just pull up the dates because I actually wrote this down because as I started getting into it, I was like, this is so fucking crazy. An AI collar startup called Halter. And what they do is they make these specialty devices that track livestock movement. So you put all your cattle into this basically smart collar and you no longer need to do any kind of fencing. So what this AI does is it tracks the movement of the cow herds and you can keep the cows together. Like, it'll fucking round. The collars will vibrate and move and push the cows together. You don't even need, they're taking the sheepdogs, boys. They're taking the sheepdogs. Right? The cow dogs.
Taking the dogs?
They're taking the dogs' jobs. Right?
Come on, leave the dogs alone.
And to the fence, you don't even need fences. You can open your fucking smartphone, open the app, and you can draw the fence line on your property of where you want these cows to stay, and these collars will fucking zap them and push your cows to stay together and stay in the zone.
That's fine. The next season of fucking Yellowstone's going to suck.
This fucking
chasing fucking cows around with their phones.
Listen to this. This startup that just started, came out of fucking nowhere, has just opened to a $2 billion valuation using GPS-enabled device that it's calling a Calgarithm.
Nice.
That's scary. And it has
That's worth $2 billion.
It has
right
a single fucking angel investor. A single fucking angel investor. Can you guess who that single fucking angel investor is?
Are his initials Satan. PNT?
Satan?
No, Peter Thiel.
There you go.
Peter Thiel has... This company is like... They're saying it's going to be the biggest fucking agriculture company now in history. Overnight. Wow.
To be fair, most tech companies say that they're going to be the biggest thing like every single time.
Yeah, dude, you just... Peter Thiel,
if you don't say that,
you're
doing it wrong.
$2 billion. They raised $2 billion all from Peter Thiel. It's insane.
Yeah, but I watched fucking Pied Piper.
Like Peter Thiel's got $2 billion like in the trunk of his car. Like,
right,
you know,
but
it's between
when
the
you look at what they're doing and what this is, and then you're like, and people are like when I was reading this article, I was like, that's crazy. And then I started reading this and I started thinking, I was like, they're going to do that to us. They're good. We're next. We're the fucking cattle boys. Palantir's going to be making sure none of us fucking leave. You're going to have closed borders. You're not going to need passports.
They're tracking us like they're tracking the cows.
Well, yeah. It's pretty easy to be like, if you want to increase foot traffic somewhere, you just put out a social media message that says like, hey, there's going to be a limited edition Labubu here at this store at this time. And then you get like people there.
All the cows go there.
We're on the brink of an energy fucking pandemic. There's going to be a massive energy crisis.
Everybody's got too much energy.
Yeah. No. It's too much.
We got to get our energy vaccines.
They're going to make you, and that's going to be your little fucking app or cattle app.
Well, dude, I can go deep on this conspiracy rabbit hole with all this, but we're going to take a short break.
Yeah.
We're gonna cool down a second, then we're going to come back hot. We're going to go for it. We'll be right
back. Yeah, let the cows breathe, baby. Good.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
All right, we're back.
All right. Okay. We were talking about the Calgarithm. So I think this is a... Okay, people say, like, Elon Musk, like, all his companies and stuff are fucking, you know, designed to and for living on Mars. Like, if you look at everything he's doing, you've got, you know, the
tunnel systems.
Yeah, the robotics that are going to have to be working there. You got the fucking boring system, which is going to have to dig tunnels in Mars. You got the autopilot. Like, every
Starlink for the fucking Martians.
Yeah.
Almost everything.
Giant hyper-evolved cockroaches that live on Mars.
Everything he's involved with is, like, basically to colonize Mars. When you look at everything Peter Thiel's involved with, you're like, holy shit, dude, what are you going to do to us? What's your plan?
His whole thing is to enslave humanity.
Yes.
He's the Antichrist, isn't he?
It does feel that way, dude.
Didn't he have the 4-part series on the Antichrist?
On how to become the Antichrist? Or no? A 4-part series on how to become the Antichrist?
It was just, I think, yeah, 4 private seminars on the Antichrist. 4 or 5 private invite.
Explaining why he's not the Antichrist. Like, yeah. I swear to
you guys, you gotta know what people are expecting to avoid that, so people don't recognize
He had a
right
secret
away.
Lecture on the Antichrist in Rome. Secret lecture.
Yeah.
Invite only, I believe.
They're like, they're expecting the mark of the beast, so don't show that. Right
well,
away.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay.
Peter Thiel, 666 at hotmail.com.
You might want to keep the Horde of Babylon and the Leviathan. Like, you want to keep them separate. Keep them in a separate room. Don't let people see that right away.
Okay. This is a fun little rabbit hole I went down. Speaking of Peter Thiel and shit, there's been like a cult. And, like, occultism and, like, you know, magic, all involved in Silicon Valley since day one, right? You had Jack Parsons with Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
The Rocket Man.
Yeah, Rocket Man himself.
Mm-hmm. And he was blew like, himself up when he was working with Israel.
Yeah.
Tony Stark.
Yeah. He was a hardcore Thelemite occultist, like, huge Aleister Crowley guy. He even had, I think he had, like, correspondence with him, tons, right? Like, the guy, Jack Parsons practiced.
We did a whole case file on Jack Parsons.
Practiced sex magic. Like, he signed letters as Freighter Bellerian, the Antichrist. Right?
Nice.
Like,
This guy fucking partied.
Like, Jack Parsons partied,
as you would.
Man.
But, like, they would, like, he, part of the reason he was, like, building rocket labs is because he kind of felt that, or sorry, rocket propulsion laboratories, is that he kind of felt that like leaving the Earth was part of like opening the gates and like that he had that like do what thou wilt, and that was part of like, you know, the occultist belief is that like this was like leaving the plane.
Buddy, that's Aleister Crowley. Do as the world.
Yeah,
like, teachings.
Yeah.
You see, we should have stuck to rocket propulsion and space exploration because that's when fucking scientists were cool and you were doing stuff like, you know, satanic orgies and shit, opposed to the stuff now you're making Calgarithms and shock collars for people, you know, and now you're nerdos, right? But like back then you were like, you're putting on robes and you were just like
Babylon
nothing underneath
working.
And you're like going nuts. Yeah.
Remember that
like,
shit?
Now it's
well, that's
fun.
Where they were trying
working
to.
Working was his big ritual that he tried.
Yeah, they were
to
trying
off.
To summon the goddess.
Yeah,
right?
Dude. Yes,
but,
dude.
But see, but then when I look at this, like you look at the occultism in Silicon Valley, and if you kind of like look at the stuff like Peter Thiel's into and stuff, and like if you look at it through the lens of that "do what thou wilt" and stuff, you're like, I feel like there's people are just.
I would argue that with the Silicon Valley that you have now is a direct result of getting rid of all that stuff that they tamped down on that.
But
now you just have all this loser stuff about surveillance.
Well,
state.
Bring
back the sex magic. Let's go.
Well, here's
bring
the
back
thing,
the fucking big rockets.
But yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of this podcast. I'm like, all this shit is magic, dude. All this shit doesn't make sense. It's fucking magic. And then when we look at like
magic
them
to me,
we look at 100%. This shit and they're like, you know, they were attempting to summon spirits. Some people are like, or summon entities. Some people believe that like all these people that are involved in this like big AI rush, it's like, this is to summon an entity. That's what we're doing. We are creating an entity. Like, we are summoning something up through the digital realm that is going to exist. Yeah. And it's like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is all still part of the occult. And it's just like, AI is just the next thing.
You know what it is?
A ritual summoning.
Because we live in a digital universe, a simulation, if you will. And these people have discovered that they can communicate with the creator. And that's the entity.
That would make sense if we're in a simulation that they're like, okay, well, listen, jerking off on a crackers and eating it's not working. We've got to, you know what I mean? We've got to try something else. The sex magic isn't working. It's fun. We're all having a good time.
I would say I'm a material girl in a material world.
All right, Madonna. So you're saying cow. You're fixated on cow. We've talked about cow algorithm. You're talking about summoning. We're talking about black magic. What about bulls? What about ball?
Ball?
Ball. They're trying to summon ball. The old Canaanite fucking devil god.
Ball so last.
But that would make sense. Like, if we're in a simulation.
Isn't ball like the big fucking bad?
No, why don't you do like somebody cool like Asmodeus or Baphomet or like
referred to as the Lord of Storms, like fertility, and rain.
They're like the hip, you know, the Silicon crowd is like, they're not going to stick to that old stuff. They'd be out of that. Like, you know, we're going to move towards more like, you know, the cool devils and demons.
It would make sense, Zell. That's a really good point. I didn't think of that. If we're in a simulation, the only way to communicate and like actually summon like another entity in this world would be to like some digital way of doing it. And which is what AI would be. It'd be the connection between this thing and our world. Like we're opening a door essentially.
Well, it's crazy because everything, like we convert everything to digital technology now. And now we create our own digital worlds, digital universes.
Well, why aren't we just one? Meta just shut down their own digital world.
Yeah, like they're like
$80 billion later or whatever. Like they shut down that Horizon.
Well, they made
whatever.
A shit one, all right? They're not all going to be good.
Yeah.
There's probably a bunch of other universes just like ours that were garbage at first and have tossed those away.
We're one, number one.
Notice how Zuck got less dorky, he became less successful?
It's true. He started doing fucking.
Gave up more of his market share.
Okay, that's a crazy statement. Because has he become? What's his net worth? Like, what are we saying here?
He's shifted over to what now? He's UFC fighting. And
he's a jit surfing now. I'm pretty sure he's a black belt.
He's only worth $220
billion. He's always
wearing
those sick oversized t-shirts. You know, like and the fucking cool puka shell necklaces and shit. He's got a broccoli
head. He's still frequently listed as the second or third publicly known wealthiest.
We should bring those back, boys. We should all get puka shell necklaces for the show. Can the podcast afford to
buy us
puka shell necklaces?
Nope.
I'm looking right now. There's an 18 inch puka shell necklace we can get for $16.95.
Can we get the puka shell with the shark tooth in the middle? Those ones are fucking dope.
Can we do Zell, if you're looking at the budget, can we afford the puka shell and the shark teeth?
We could get one of those, maybe.
One?
We could share it. Each one of us gets to wear it around.
Back and forth. Yeah.
All right. I'm into this. I'm into getting one puka shell necklace and then sending it express postage across the continent. So we can all
We would buy it for $17. We're going to ship it for $35 every time.
Yeah, I like it. Can we get, Zell, is it in the budget to get puka shell necklaces and instead of shark teeth, we get an ATT logo?
Yes, of course. That's in the budget.
We'll buy them custom. For $16. We'll wear them and then we'll sell show-worn puka shell necklaces for $42.99.
You know what? That's a good marketing thing. We should sell all our show-worn merch.
All right. If you want a puka shell necklace... And you want
to comes with the sweat stains
and the greatest thing is we've already kind of planned this. We've got all sizes. You know what I mean? We've got all sizes.
I will
sell
you my sauna boxers.
Sauna boxers. You're not in there naked?
I can't because I got a renter. You never know if she's gonna fucking.
Come into the sauna.
They signed up.
We get into after hours, we got to talk.
We'll talk about meth truck in the after hours. I want to get into the full global spanning entrenched conspiracy. That we got to tie all together now.
Sure.
Okay. Right? Tie it together. Bring us home.
Well, because we got
Theory of Everything.
A Theory of Everything. I mean, it's not really mine. It's pretty much on
it's on every channel now in the world.
Now. Everyone's talking about it. But Andrew's already talked about 15-minute cities, right? And how would they do a 15-minute city? We have GPS, right? The next step, everyone talks about it, is that some type of digital dollar, cryptocurrency that could be tracked and manipulated at any, not manipulated, but can be tracked and your bank account turned off if you don't follow these specific rules. Oh, you went outside the 15-minute city. Therefore, you can't pay.
You have no money.
You have
Your money is only in the parameters where
they,
you are.
They try and expand the housing prices so much that no one could afford except the billionaire super elite now own all the houses too. You will own nothing and you will be happy.
Or you live in certain parts of fucking Western Canada where they're taking your property away.
Well, not yet, but they might.
It's coming. Well, they're devaluing your property to the point where it's worth fucking nothing. You can't get mortgages anymore, but there are people getting kicked off.
I think you've gone a little far there. You can still get a mortgage currently. But
places in Richmond, those guys are trying and working at it right now and they're having problems. Nobody's working with them.
But you're talking, we're talking about the Vancouver one.
The Richmond one was tiny.
The Vancouver one is
big. It's still people losing property, man.
That's what I'm saying. So if like if you start tying all these conspiracies together, the super elite, you know, the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, the people who make the global order, the rules of the global order.
Could you imagine if that's why they're doing that, to devalue property, and then they're like, well, no one wants to buy them because your land rights are not you're not sure, and then Black Rights like, I guess we'll take that risk off you for fucking, you know, 20% less of what the property's valued at. And then they go, yeah, we don't care about
it. We'll take you to court. Try and get it back now.
Yeah, you try.
You fucking try and get that property back. Right, so you have all these, like, we've talked about, I don't think we've actually done a case file on it, like Agenda 2030. Like,
yeah.
Right? So you... And you have all this
Agenda
stuff.
Agenda 23 or whatever it's a, yeah.
Right, so that has to deal with, like, you know, the pushing. There was this huge, it's kind of fallen off a bit now, but like the pushing of the EV vehicles, right, attached to the electrical grid, and the conspiracy starts stemming like, oh, if you don't own the car, and if they turn off your electricity, you can't charge the car, so you can't drive the car. All of these like major conspiracies, let's say, if you were to really go all the way, full red pill, the scale has slid all the way to the right. You don't believe anything anymore. You could say that these super wealthy people who own these companies that originally were like the CIA, LifeLog, and now Facebook, they own all your data. They know everything about you. They now have access to your bank account. They have access to your transportation. They have access. They own and control your housing. They own and control your food supply. They own and control all the banking. They own and a few... Let's say like 100 or a couple hundred individuals will slew own most of the world's wealth.
Well, isn't Iran one of the last countries that's not doesn't have like a Rothschild-led private like banking system?
That's something I always hear.
Probably have a lot of other countries.
That's one of the main conspiracies going around.
You hear that, but like, I also don't think Rothschilds own the central banks of most countries. Is this the Rothschild style of central bank that's used?
Yeah, but wasn't Israel given to the Rothschilds? I read that on Reddit one day.
Here we go. Here comes the racist tirade.
It's on the internet. It's true. Yeah.
We thought we couldn't get...
Oh, we almost made it.
Mark Zuckerberg.
We almost made it.
And you know what's funny? There. They had nicknames
so
for
close.
Them.
So close.
Oh, yeah.
The Anunnaki we made we black slaves, all right?
We thought we couldn't get there.
Maybe we did. We got there. But that's what I'm saying. Like the this grand conspiracy of like the uber elite... who own everything, trying to control all of humanity, there's some things you'd be like, in a way, you are.
I don't think it's a conspiracy.
There's another level of society. I think we've researched it enough that I do not believe anything other than that. There's an access to another level of society that money and wealth gets you that we can't even fathom.
Well, we've talked about it just briefly. We've talked about it before, like just Epstein.
Yeah, two-tier justice system.
The crime that he committed, if any one of us did, would be the max sentence you could get. Whatever.
Yeah, like 2 years.
Good.
In Canada. Yeah.
But that's when he gets 1 year, he gets to go to work. Like he gets the lightest sentence you could ever think about. He's protected by like his publicist does a really good job of keeping his name out of the paper, and like only you don't really hear about him that much. And it's not until finally he's actually convicted for the major crime that you really hear about him. So like there is different rules of society. Even the government can really, if you did anything the government does as a person, you fucking, you can't just go to your neighbor's house and blow something up, but you can go to a different country and blow them up. And
you can kidnap your president.
Yeah.
I don't know,
you
dude. Can go kidnap your president. Canada's starting to heal. They had that home invasion in Toronto where the guy fucking blasted
Castle
some
Law,
of the
baby.
Right. That's and the fucking right. And the home invasion, four guys came in, a guy started blasting them. And normally in Canada, you'd be like, but brother, you're done. Fucking done.
You protected
you
yourself.
You're supposed to leave your keys on your front door.
You're supposed
right
to
outside fucking, and let them
you're supposed
take your
to
vehicle.
Hand them your firearm and say, please don't hurt me. Yeah. This guy fired upon them and received no charges. I was like, hell God. We're back, baby.
Okay, well, that's a little bit of good precedent then, you know?
Yeah, we're back, baby.
Back.
I hope so.
Castle Law, you can blast them with a gun you can't legally own. What happened? I guess it must have been like a shotgun or something, a legal shotgun.
Dude, I keep getting emails from the RCMP that's being like, this is your last chance to turn in your firearm. And I'm like, which one? I'm like, I don't think I have, do I have an illegal firearm? Is that why you keep messaging me? I'm like, what?
How do they know? Because there's no register.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Why do I keep getting these emails?
They just assume everybody has fucking profile, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically, I gave my guns to my dad. They're at his house. They're not mine anymore. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I dare you to come for next, my airsoft guns.
Next they're gonna be coming for my fucking brass knuckles and my fucking
plastic
and my throwing stars.
That, oh, that reminds me. I really wish I would have got that hand grenade lighter home from Vietnam that one time. Yeah. That was so cool. Anyways, I'm talking about like this global conspiracy you hear about all the time. And the longer time goes on, the
doesn't
more you're
feel like a conspiracy.
Do I think it's gonna get to the point where that actually happens? No, I don't think so personally, but I think it's just going to keep tiptoeing that way. These people are going to keep consolidating so much massive wealth that they could do whatever they want.
There's no chance, because think about how many jacked up Dodge Rams we're going to have with Canadian flags flying and stickers, right? There's no, the resistance.
It's time.
The fucking resistance, brother.
It's called back the truckers.
Call back the truckers.
It's
hell
time.
Yeah.
Do we, Kate, do we want, do we, this is a question, as a guest, do we want a grassroots member of the,
hell yeah,
the truckers on the pod for an interview? Yeah.
How racist is he on a scale from 1 to 10?
Not. Beauty. Great guy.
Then
awesome
yes.
guy.
Can he get
smart,
into
that?
Can he get into
knows
the
a little
horn,
bit about everything, like
the horn pattern that you dude, is best used to change sway government
he
opinion?
Was number, he's number like 15 in the trucker, like signing up for the trucker rally, like frozen bank account, everything.
Nice.
Yeah, like great.
He's a freedom fighter.
Oh, absolutely. He's a beaut.
Hell yeah. He's one of
he
the
also,
fringe.
He does also he, happens does he to be my a, boss, so I have to
does
be,
he have a does he have a bumper sticker that says like one of the fringe minority with like unreasonable views?
No, but he is one. He doesn't have to fucking put it on display.
People just know him. Sure, let's get him in, but he has to come in the studio.
So he would, for sure. He's local.
So I can use all this cool gear I never use. Yeah.
All right.
What else? That's pretty much all I had. My conspiracy of the global conspiracy, far-reaching conspiracy, seems to tiptoeing closer and closer.
Every day.
Is it as bad? I don't personally think it will be as bad as you will have.
As 1984 nothing. made it seem to be?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. You know, I think it'll be fun to not own anything, and I'll be happy, and I can just...
It'll be fun to go visit your friends and be like, unfortunately, my bank card doesn't work here.
No, it'll be fun to get money from the government until they don't like what I say, then they turn off the funding, and now I'm screwed.
Yeah, and they'll be like, Zell, we didn't like podcasts.
Well, they can do that now anyways with Bill C-22 or whatever that just got passed.
Yeah. Which one's that one?
It's the...
Is that the one where they started knocking on doors now?
Is that where they privatize your healthcare? Because do that and then...
Then you wait in fucking 6 months for surgery and then you die and you don't get it.
Yeah, you're also paying like 20%
more. 20% more. Way more than that.
Insane amount of money out of your paycheck.
I don't know about our healthcare system, if I'm going to be honest.
I haven't had to use it yet, so...
Thank God.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see when I get a little older how bad it gets. But yeah, as far as DARPA goes, there's so many cool like DARPA projects that you could just talk about.
Yeah. DARPA is just an interesting like organization in itself. Just it's one of those things where it's like DARPA and, you know, to some extent NASA, just the stuff that they worked on, which is now part of our like modern yeah, everyday life and like technological infrastructure, like just the stuff, like I said, the TCP/IP stuff, like, you know, creating the internet, you know, the microchip, like
GPS,
any of that stuff. Google. Yeah, GPS. Yeah, all of that stuff is now that we use in
ubiquitous,
like, you know.
Google's and before,
back then it was
dude,
like
Google is so fucking deep with DARPA too, like all their fucking Google Earth and shit. That was all fucking DARPA initiatives at the beginning that were kind of handed over to Google.
Well, it's like they
fucking
have these,
insane, dude. All this shit like is private military applications that got shut down, and then they were like, hey, private corporation, you want to work with us on this quietly?
Well, there's like, I mean, there's a whole history there about exactly like what goes on and just the, you know, the interchanging of just between, or like the intermixing between like DARPA and then Silicon Valley, like the private.
Jeff Bezos' grandpa was a member of DARPA.
Of course, I mean, you would be like to have that kind of money, like those things. Like, it is interesting to, yeah, any smart person, like they would pick up back then. And the amount of funding that they pumped into these early tech companies. I mean, I think a lot of people want to say like DARPA created Silicon Valley, but I think it'd be more accurate argument to be like it's more created the environment or the substrate for it to become what it is. Like back then the government was the big funder. Like it was like, here, we'll fund your projects for 10, 20 years. Like we're not a venture capitalist that's like, we need a turnaround in like 5 years or something like that. They're like, we'll give you money for 10 years,
forever.
15 years, yeah. You know, and you create your microchips or whatever these things are that are going to go in our missiles or rockets that are going to fight the Reds, you know.
Oh, buddy, kind of
they have those.
They're
going
to be able to drone strike us from wherever. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm gonna have to fucking tinfoil the entire roof of the studio.
Not, tinfoil's not gonna work, dude. You need a full
paint
Faraday cage.
It's gonna be
blue, dude.
Paint it blue.
Yeah, you know, paint the roof blue, 100%.
Just get a copper wiring on top, yeah, and then paint it blue. Yeah, that should do it.
The crazy thing about DARPA too is all these technologies they had, like the internet and stuff, was in what, 1969. They had self-driving cars in like 70s. They had all the stuff that we got 20 or 30 years later. So what is being worked on now? What's going to come out in 20 years? Or what was around in, you know, 2005 that's going to come out just now? You know, see, now they have those talks of those hypersonic missiles.
Are you telling me they had the iPhone 16 in 2003?
You're damn right they did.
See, here's the thing I thought was really funny, because when I was reading about this, and it's interesting to see, you know, going through like a, you know, quick little history timeline of like DARPA, and then being like how it used to be the military was the big funder of technological process, but now it is like flipped over once the tech companies realized that they could make a lot more money on the public sector.
That's not
like,
what happened. What happened was they realized that with government spending, there was civilian overwatch, and they can't have that because then there's public outcry, and then Congress can shut them down. So they're like, you know what?
That's why they went private.
They're like, if we privatize this shit, we don't have to fucking answer to anybody.
Like, well, some of them have been like, okay, so there is that. There's the things that, yeah, private companies don't have to share their stuff, but that's how you make money, right? You patent stuff and then you don't have to release it. You don't have to have oversight, so you can keep control over your technological, you know, developments, and then you make more money that way. But it is interesting to see how this has kind of flipped the script. And there's there was a time, and there's like a, you know, there's a famous anecdote where it was like a 19... It's like 91, where there was like a big dinner, and like the deputy secretary of defense like gathered all the, you know, the eggheads from Silicon Valley and basically said, hey guys, you know, Soviet Union's fallen, the Reds are on the outs, so we're not writing any more big checks to you guys. You guys are gonna have to consolidate, or you guys are gonna go bust. So here, finish your lobster and get out. Like it's a wild story about those kinds of things. But now that the private sector has become the main driver of technological innovation, there is this interesting little piece, which I found about the, I didn't really know about them. And even though I live kind of near where some of this stuff kind of happens, the Defense Innovation Unit, the DIU, or used to be previously DIUX, which is a office of the Pentagon that they formed in order to try and act like a startup, because it used to be the Pentagon did, like, you know, a lot of these private companies didn't want to get in bed with the Pentagon because they the Pentagon moves too slow. And if anybody's worked with the government or in the government, yeah, U.S. government, you realize the bureaucracy is insane. It takes 2 years to get a freaking new laptop. It takes 10 years to upgrade your Adobe Acrobat. Like, it's a wild amount of paperwork to do anything. And with Silicon Valley becoming, you know, a lot more agile, on the toes, you know, they want to get stuff done fast, quick, turn around. You know, a lot of they didn't want to work with the Pentagon anymore. So the government formed in like 2015, they launched this initiative called the Defense Innovation Unit, which it was DIUX, which X used to be experimental.
And X going to give it to you, basically.
X going to give it to you. Yeah, DMX. And their main goal was to, like, they were going to rebuild the bridge between the Pentagon and Silicon Valley, which had, you know, frayed to some extent after the Cold War, after, you know, that funding had dried up. So their main goal of the Defense Initiative Unit was to, like, find things that already exist. So these companies these startups that are making these innovations, or, you know, have promised stuff, or have, you know, promising applications within, you know, in the commercial world. And then they would take those and then they would put them in the hands of soldiers within 24 months. You know, so these things, like Brayden already mentioned, you know, drone technology, GPS, you know, application of these things, and to some extent, other things, tracking technologies, biometrics, any of these kind of cool things, calgorithms, you know. But the DIU is kind of like, now they have become this, like, originally they were just like this tiny little department that were kind of like a little, like, brainchild of, like, one of the departments of, you know, deputy at the time, like departments of defense. Now they were, what was it, defense, it was Secretary of Defense Ash Carter back in 2015. And now they have become like something where they've got like a budget of almost like $1 billion and they've become like a permanent staple at the Pentagon. It used to be like they had their own like one little office in like Mountain View, California. And now they've got offices in like Austin. They got offices in Boston. They got offices in like Northern Virginia, everywhere where military government intersect, a lot of these places. Even in my area, like Northern Virginia has become one of the, like, the main areas where, like, the government contracting, technology, AI, all that stuff, because we have tons of data centers here, like all that shit. But it's wild that they have this thing that it originally just started out this tiny little project, and now it's almost, it operates almost like it's huge thing. It's just a huge, massive budget. It's got there's one of the initiatives that it has is called Replicator, which is aiming to field like thousands of the cheap autonomous drones to counter global threats.
Yeah. You know, global threats. Us. They'll be like, your Facebook post is a global threat.
Exactly, your drone swarms and all that stuff. I assume, like, how can you name it Replicator? That's
dude. Do you remember? You remember all those fucking weird drone robots from the drone shit going on in like fucking Denver and stuff back like 2 years ago? Remember that? Where people were getting the fucking weird drones were like flying, looking like they were serving. Dude, that was
nothing.
Testing something for sure.
There's all those theories, like, oh, it was looking for some type of nuclear dirty bomb or like,
yeah, well, that bunch fucking guy that came on the internet told us that's exactly what they were doing.
But it's never found it, I guess. Concerning to see a government body like, or, you know, government funded initiative like DIU, they're basically operating on the fact that it's like they act more like a startup. They can acquire these technologies. They're not beholden to the normal government oversight. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of stuff that they put in place where they basically kind of like stripped away a lot of the like stuff where the Pentagon was something. They have the Federal Acquisition Regulation, which is like, you know, this huge book of paperwork that you have to, you know, that you have to fill out all of this stuff. You know, anybody like me, military, you have to fill out 6 forms to get a can of paint.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but they don't have to do that. They made special provisions for this unit to be able to breeze past all of that and just be like, yeah, you can get whatever you want. Yeah. You know, move fast, break things. It's fine. You know, it's like we all in the name of national security or, you know, that thing's, it's just American superiority. It's concerning. Worrisome.
Just a little.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Let's wrap this one up.
Well, I got before we wrap this one up, I got to shout out one absolute goddamn legend. One person who's not on the Epstein list.
Definitely.
Confirmed.
Not. Absolutely not.
They went to patreon.com. They searched for Alien Theorist Theorizing. Not on their phone, though. Don't go through the app store. Make sure
you
go through your browser.
Mm-mm.
or fucking Steve Jobs has taken 30% from the
DARPA.
Grave.
DARPA's man. Getting in.
DARPA. This week we got Cody Troilo.
Let's go.
Supporting
Troilo.
The show.
Let's go.
The correspondent tier, getting early access, all the bonus stuff, keeping the lights on, buying us at least one puka shell necklace with
let's go. Hell puka shell necklace. Hell yeah. We'll have
puka
a new
tier, baby.
Puka tier.
Puka tier. At least one rotation. Yeah. One rotation of puka shell necklace between all of us.
I don't know how we don't have a tier that's $6.66, but we should really get that.
Yeah. That should happen. Called the Jack Parsons tier.
Jack Parsons and the Peter Thiel. Anyways, that was awesome. That was fun. There's lots more to DARP, all the other cool projects that you could get into.
Maybe we'll do another time.
That's just a little negative start to your Monday or whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah. Don't forget to share our post on Facebook.
Yeah, don't forget to share our post about
copy and paste
about all the bad stuff that they're involved in. And,
as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See the drones.
Yeah.
For a fun night out, K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.